This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Jeff Worrell back with another edition of PT Talker. Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you joined us. As we do, we like to come to you each and every week, bringing you an expert in the world of physical therapy. And this week, I'm happy to introduce you to Louise Montez. Louise, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Jeff.
And Louise, you are a doctor of physical therapy, and you actually are working currently with as the director of business development for Accelerated Care Plus. But I ran across your an article that you wrote in one of the magazines out there titled "How Will Regulation on Concurrent Therapy Affect the Rehab Industry?" And you really piqued my interest, and I wanted to kind of just give our listeners an opportunity to hear some of your thoughts about your article. So, again, welcome to PT Talker.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here in your show.
Yeah, great. Now I will start out by saying that the remarks that you're going to make regarding your article is that these are your opinions, but you have quite a bit of experience in the world, and I guess your concern is that concurrent therapy is being used in physical therapy right now, but there are some changes to the regulations coming, and you think that that might not be so great for physical therapy. Do I have that basically correct?
I guess and no.
Okay.
I think that the regulation from a financial perspective might not be the best thing for providers at this point in time. I don't think that this will be something that's going to affect the industry nearly as much as PPS did back in 1997. However, there's going to be some financial implications that will negatively may affect some providers.
Okay.
Nevertheless, from a clinical standpoint, this might actually be a good thing for patients and for therapists that want to take their time with patients.
Okay. Well, good. Well, let's break this down. Let's first of all define for our listeners your terminology and what you mean by concurrent therapy.
Sure. Well, concurrent therapy, as the term implies, is doing any sort of therapy services, whether it's physical therapy, occupational therapy, or speech therapy, on more than two patients at the same time. So, for example, I might be doing manual therapy, doing a shoulder joint mobilization on a patient, while there's another patient on the gym that's doing an independent, supervised therapeutic exercise program, and I'm keeping an eye on that patient.
Okay.
That would be considered concurrent therapy. Another typical example that we might see in the outpatient world is a patient is receiving the electrical stimulation while there's another patient on the gym that's working with therapists doing neuromuscular reeducation or therapeutic exercise or any other type of service.
Okay.
So that would be considered concurrent therapy.
Okay. And let's just, for the record, let's kind of, if you would, just speak for a minute about the ethics of concurrent therapy and how that relates to the APTA and our industry in general. Is that morally accepted to use concurrent therapy in your practice?
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong in the view of the APTA when it comes to concurrent therapy or seeing more than one patient at the same time. As a matter of fact, we can see patients in groups, which Medicare allows us to see patients with a code under group therapy. But we've been doing this for many, many years. I mean, if you go to an outpatient clinic and you walk in, you're going to see that there's always going to be a patient in a modality while a patient might be doing exercise at the same time in the gym. So from an ethical and moral perspective, I think that you can talk to any physical therapist out there, and they're going to tell you that in their practice, they use concurrent therapy all the time.
Okay.
Nevertheless, there is definitely abuse in the system that will take this practice to an unethical level. And we see this within many type of environments in the rehab field, in the outpatient, as well as in the skilled nursing home facility, which right now I'm very much embedded in. So there's certainly abuse, just like with any other system. So those guys that are using it properly, it's definitely an ethical practice, but those that are not can easily turn it to be unethical.
Okay. All right, and thus giving everybody a bad name. But so mm-hmm. let's talk about the changes in the regulations that you see coming. Can you define what those changes are, and then let's talk about how that might affect our listeners?
Sure, Jeff. Well, currently right now, it is under Medicare rule, and this is taking the last final rule that we saw last year. Concurrent therapy is defined as seeing more than one patient at the same time. The rules are different, and it could turn a little complicated, but I'm going to make it simple here. For Part A patients, so those patients that we might see in an IRF type of environment or a SNF type of environment versus those Part B patients, which we typically see in an outpatient environment and even in a SNF environment. Mm-hmm. So there's two different rules or set of rules for Part A and Part B patients. On the Part A side, the current rule states that a therapist can actually see more than one patient at the same time upon their discretion. And I'm actually going to quote here from the Medicare final rule that states that we wish to convey that the therapist's professional judgment should not be compromised and concurrent therapy should be performed only when it is clinically appropriate to render care to more than one individual at the same time. We agree that at times such care can be provided concurrently with another therapy patient as long as the decision to do so is driven by valid clinical consideration. So nothing wrong, you know, of seeing more than one patient at the same time during the Part A rules. Mm-hmm. And Medicare is limiting up to the therapist and up to the therapist's judgment to see as many patients as they want to see. So they could see more than two at the same time, and they can see 10 if they wanted to. Obviously, you know, nobody, unless you're a superhuman, can properly treat 10 patients at the same time. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's from the Medicare Part A perspective. From the Medicare Part B perspective, the current therapy, the concurrent therapy law or legislation right now ensures that a therapist cannot see more than two patients at the same time. So this it's an important to distinguish.
So
that
they're defining it specifically in A.
They're specifically defining that a therapist can actually only see one patient at a time. Under Medicare Part B regulation, only one patient at a time. Concurrent therapy is only allowed when a patient is on a modality, eSTEM, for example, or shortwave diathermy. The modality has to be an unattended code or a procedure code.
Okay.
So I could be treating a patient doing manual therapy while another patient is receiving eSTEM. You know, that will be considered concurrent therapy, and that's okay. Another exception to the rule for Medicare Part B would be group therapy. We can see more than two patients at the same time if we bill for the group therapy code. Now, on the Part A side, we can also use the Part B code only in 25% of the patient's therapy time under the Part A code. So, you know, group therapy is an important component on both Part A and Part B side. But I guess that the biggest difference here between Part A and Part B under the current regulation is that under Part B, we can only see one patient at a time.
Yeah.
Now, there are certain situations that we can, that we can address. For example, if I am treating a patient under Part B in the outpatient environment, I might be doing 10 minutes of one-on-one therapy with that patient, and then I have patient two walking into the clinic, and then I go to patient two, and I might be doing manual therapy on patient two, for 10 minutes while I leave patient one unattended. So I'm allowed to see more than one patient at the same time, but the only minutes that I'm allowed to bill are the minutes that I'm doing one-on-one with that patient under Part B. So that's the main difference right now between Part A and Part B, Jeff.
And how do you see the financial impact? Can you speak to that just a little bit?
Absolutely. I think Medicare clamped down on the Part B aspect. And I don't want to say any names of companies, but let's say 10 years ago or so, regulation was changed in where therapists were only allowed to see one patient at a time under Part B because there was fraud. That means that, you know, therapists were being forced to see a certain amount of patients per day. You know, they had certain productivity standards, and in order to reach those standards, then therapists had no choice but to lump patients together. So, for example, comes in a patient, and you work one-on-one with that patient for 20 minutes, but then another patient comes in because they have another appointment 20 minutes later. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, you're going to be working on that patient while the other patient is doing something else unsupervised, and then walks in another patient 20 minutes later because, you know, your clinic tends to schedule on a 20-minute slot. So you have no choice but to see more than two patients at the same time. So Medicare got it smart, and they figured it out and said, well, you know, these guys are not really doing one-on-one therapy, and we shouldn't pay for somebody that's doing biking on an exercise bike. That's not really skilled therapy. We should not pay for therapeutic exercise or that code. So we're going to regulate this a little bit harder, and we're only going to allow therapists to see one patient at a time, and we're only going to pay for services that are administered one-on-one. And that was about 10 years ago. And definitely, I mean, there was a definite financial impact on facilities now because, you know, you have facilities that are used to seeing, you know, three Medicare patients, for example, in 1 hour. Now they're only seeing one patient, a Medicare patient, in an hour. Mm-hmm. So obviously their profit margins went down, and they had to kind of reinvent themselves and rebrand themselves and do things differently. If not, you know, they'll go out of business. Some companies started getting into rehab contracts, for example, with getting more into the SNF. Other companies started buying rehab hospitals and got out of the outpatient field altogether because of this. So there was definitely a lot of changes. Now, I think those changes are about to happen on the Part A side because, I mean, Medicare never makes sense, right? So. They didn't change it on the Part A side.
Yeah.
They didn't change it. So now they're realizing that there are unethical behaviors and that some certain rehab providers are just making way too much money. Mm-hmm. And now we got healthcare reform coming, and we gotta cut costs somewhere, and this could be a good way to do so. So they're gonna start you know, allowing therapists on the Part A side only to see one patient at a time starting in October. Yeah. And this is the final rule that's going to come up in October of this year under the RUCS-4 or so, MDS-3.
Yeah, so any way to stop this, or is this pretty much a done deal?
This is pretty much a done deal, Jeff.
Okay.
This is pretty much a done deal. They're going to stop concurrent therapy altogether. Mm-hmm. And many rehab providers in the SNF world are already making the necessary changes and are going to have to adapt their business practices.
Yeah.
One example is they're going to start doing a lot more group therapy.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, we can certainly get some really good clinical outcomes, you know, with group therapy. There are certain stipulations. I don't want to get too much into it as to when it's appropriate to do group therapy. And that's only allowed to be built in 25% of the patient's care anyways.
Okay.
But they're going to have to make changes.
Okay. All right. Now, any quick advice? We're almost out of time, but any quick advice if a listener was out there and deals with Part B patients, anything they can do to you know, to prepare, to, you know, how would they implement this system into their practice? What are they going to have to do to change? Any advice?
Sure. Oh, absolutely, Jeff. And if you read my article if you go to my website, www.montesmeds.com, you're going to see actually in the last paragraph there, on the Part B side, really there's not going to be any changes whatsoever. I mean, the regulation is going to stay like it is, and it is what it is. For the Part A side, however, the companies are going to have to adjust their practices, and I think that those providers that are already providing the highest level of care and producing the best outcomes out there have a much larger advantage over the providers that don't. Mm-hmm. The providers that do are already seeing less than 2 patients at a time per therapist. So, you know, we know that if we spend the time with the patient, we're going to get a better outcome. So those providers are not going to be impacted as much. So I think that the providers that are tending to abuse the system really need to ask themselves the question of what type of business are we in? What is it that we want to do? What is it that we want to brand ourselves? And it comes down to a really fundamental issue, and that is providing the best level of patient outcomes and getting the best systems and the best programs out there to get the best outcomes, regardless of how many patients you see in that hour.
Right.
So I think that as long as we, providers out there, we adjust our practices so that they brand themselves as the best provider of clinical outcomes, then they can start getting better financial results.
Focus on outcomes. That's actually what it should all
be
about. Okay. All right, well, Louise, we are definitely out of time. Went a little long this time, so I apologize to our listeners out there, but I thought it was very, very interesting, and I really appreciate you sharing your information with all the folks out there in PT Talker land.
You are welcome. It was a pleasure being here, and thank you so much for the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you've been listening to Luis Montes. He is a doctor of physical therapy, working as a director of business development for Accelerated Care Plus. Definitely knows his stuff about the changes in concurrent therapy, and want to remind all of our listeners that should you want to hear previous episodes, feel free to find us on iTunes at PT Talker, or certainly go to our blog podcast site, which is pttalker.com. This is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.